Did I get it right?
Yep.
Oh, here we go. This time. Last time I struggled with it. But we're good this time. All right, boy, we are blessed, are we not? Yes, we're a blessed people. All right, we'll go ahead and pray before we get started here. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for another great day. We thank you for the blessings, and we thank you for the word that you have delivered. And may your words always bless us, and may we always be followers, and may we be disciples of you. And we just thank you for everything you're going to do. And in Jesus' name, amen. You all be seated. Before I get started, tonight, you know, I've kind of went a little bit different direction than what I normally do. I use a lot of different other versions. There's, you know, this area that they kind of get onto you for that a little bit. It's King James or nothing. There's a little bit of backstory about that. You know, there is more than one translation. You know, the Bible hasn't always been in English. You know, and a lot of the scriptures, you got different ways of translating. You got literal translations. You got thought for thought, then you got paraphrase. Well, when we're translating from Hebrew and Greek, you know, a lot of times that is a phrase language. So a lot of times we can unlock hidden meanings by using different versions. It's not that we're taking anything away or adding anything to it, but sometimes you can unlock a deeper meaning, and it can really help your Christian walk. So if you're one of those people just stuck on King James, you know, King James has one great thing about it. It accomplished many great things. It put the Bible in the common man's hands. And another thing, it's one of the easier translations to memorize. Why? Because it has a rhythmic flow to it. Most of the time, if you're quoting scripture, you're quoting out of the King James. So I just wanted to put that out there. You know, this is for anybody that feels that other translations are not as valid, because, you know, we do have scholars that work very hard on these to bring us the word and to bring us new meaning. And the more we know, the more we have knowledge, the more we can operate in our faith. Tonight's message, I actually had something different planned, but, you know, the Lord kept on speaking to me, perseverance. It's something that, you know, we all should be doing. Our first scripture tonight will be James chapter 1, verse 12, and I'm taking that out of the New American Standard Bible. It's one of my favorites that I actually like to read. It says, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Amen. That's a great promise, is it not? Amen. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. The Christian life has trials that we will endure. Our day of evil will come. Some of us know that more better than others. Some will have different trials, but all our trials have the same goal: to receive that crown of life and be in heaven with the Lord Jesus in the place that He has past prepared for us. He went away. Now we know in the scriptures that in the end, the Apostle Paul said, "I have finished my race. I have kept my faith." Paul went through a lot. We read the scripture, he went through a lot. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. All for things that we take for granted today. We can come here, we have no worries walking into this church house being persecuted. Yeah, they talk about us, but are they going to lock us up in this America? Not yet. We haven't got to that point yet. We can come here anytime we want to, not to worry about being shot, not to worry about being persecuted by the government, not to worry about being thrown, beaten, or anything. Yeah, those people don't like us because we do what Jesus tells us to. We find in the tribulation, John 16:33, and that's also in New America, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." Even though tribulations will come, and the battle has already been won. As soon as Jesus said, "I have overcome the world," He's just telling you, you're the winner. We're the body of Christ. Too many Christians walk around like we're defeated. God has already said, we have won. When these tribulations come, it's time to stand. It's time to persevere. I don't know why that anybody would show up to a fight defeated that they've already won. Let's not look defeated no more. Christians should be the most joyous people in the world. But the people who are walking all dumbfounded and down and depressed and defeated and all that. These people are not persevering. Their faith is not coming through. Their faith is not shining. I like what it says here in the Message Bible, James 1:2. We're going back to the original. But also, you know, it kind of, with the Message Bible where it's paraphrased, it groups it together, 2 verse 4. It says, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You never know which way the devil's going to approach, but we're ready for him. Consider that a sheer gift. If we just need to say to the devil, oh, Jesus already put you to the open show once, I'm going to put you through it again. Come at me. Bring it on. Let's go. Because you know that under pressure, your faith life is forced. I like it. It's forced. We're forced to use it. This is how we build. This is how we build up. It's forced into the open and shows its true colors. You want to see where somebody stands in faith? Let them go through trials and tribulations. The devil's going to come and test your faith. Where do you stand? Are you standing on the Word? Do you know enough of the Word to declare the Word? Do you have 100% blockage in your heart? Know that you're going to make it. Know that you're not going to give up. He gave his testimony just now. That's the Word. That's a treasure in his heart that he has. He already declared it. He's the head, not the tail. He's going to win. The devil may come after him, but he's coming out victorious. He's coming out better going in. He's coming out going out better than he went in. Amen. I like also what it says here. It says, don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Go through your trial. Go through it praising. Oh, it confuses the devil more than anything. Oh, I'm bringing this at him. I'm throwing this at him. But why are they still praising this God here? Don't they know their life's a wreck? No, we're blessed. We're going in. We're coming out great. We're the healed of God. Jesus gave it all to us. We're receiving this gift. We win the battle because someone has already fought it for us. Hallelujah. That's why we got to stand. We got to persevere. We cannot give up. Consider it a sheer gift that we go through these trials. You get to show off your faith. They get it like that. I have many friends that, you know, they go to the gym, they work out, you know, they got plenty of runners, plenty of athletes. A lot of times they'll ask the question, well, what did you max out today with? Or it's the runner, how far did you go today? Well, you know, sometimes, you know, their max out may not be as high as someone else's. How do you get a greater max? You work out. You go farther than what you went before. Our faith is the same way. With tribulations, when we're working out our faith muscles, we got to keep using them. When suddenly, you know, when you're working out, suddenly, hey, I couldn't lift 300 pounds, but now I can throw it up like it's easy. Suddenly, when I was running, I couldn't run maybe just a mile, and I had to stop. Now I'm running 3 miles. Our faith is the same way. The more we use it, the more we know, the more we grow in knowledge, the stronger we have. And when those trials and tribulations come, we get to persevere. We get to stand. The devil can't knock us down. We are what Jesus says we are. We're blessed. And suddenly when we're working out enough, suddenly we're declaring we're the healed of God. Suddenly we're not giving up. Suddenly we're declaring blessings in the midst of financial trouble. Suddenly we're declaring blessings when our life is on the line. Suddenly we don't get discouraged from things that the devil throws at us. Suddenly we're shouting and we're praising when things are coming down. We're shouting to these mountains, be thou removed. They're gone. We're breaking strongholds. We're tearing down walls. We're walking upon our Jericho. We're praising the Lord all the way down. We know that wall's going to crumble. We just keep on walking. We don't stop. Hallelujah. We're persevering. We have everything we need. Persevere. And watch your life. Watch your faith life grow. Watch it grow. Use your muscles. Use what you know. I'd like to go to the scripture here. Turn with me to Matthew 14. And we're going to look at verse 28 through 31. This is also a New American Standard. If you want to bring up whatever we bring up scripture here, that's fine too. Follow along with me. So Peter responded and said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened. And when he began to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out with his hand and took hold of him. and said to him, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" I also like to read that through the message here. It says, Peter suddenly bold. Oh, that's how we should be. We should always be bold. "Master, if it is really you, call me to come to you on the water." Notice, God always says, put him in remembrance of his word. We can approach the throne boldly now because of what Christ Jesus has done for us. Boldly come before God. Declare the word. Use your faith. Those two can never be separated. You can never believe for anything more than you know. If you don't know the word, you cannot stand on the word. You cannot believe for the word. That's why we got to study the word. He said, "Come ahead." Jumping out of the boat. Notice he jumped. There was no doubt in him. That's how we got to jump. That's how we got to be in our situations. We got to jump at it. We got to go at it. There's no doubt. We are bold. We persevere. We've got the faith. We're coming right at it. You see that giant coming? Just letting you know how big your God is. Hallelujah. That's the kind of God we serve. Now notice here, Peter walked on the water to Jesus. He made it. He was there. Great faith. Bold faith. Jumped out of the water and walked straight to his master. That's how we should be. But he looked away. He saw the trouble around him. Suddenly that faith was there no more. Peter did not persevere. Notice he, when he looked down at the waves churning beneath his feet, anybody has been to the ocean, you see how crazy it is, how much it moves in the storms. It just looks dangerous. Imagine walking on that water, looking down. He took his eye off his goal, his master, Lord Jesus. Suddenly he cried out after he started to sink, "Master, save me." Jesus didn't hesitate. Oh, that's beautiful right there. Jesus did not hesitate. Sometimes we're going to fall, but we got one we can cry out to, and he's going to pick us right back up. Hallelujah. He reached down and grabbed his hand. Oh, I love it. You know, Jesus is ready to reach down and cry out to him. If you're falling down, he ain't going to hesitate to kick you back up. That's the way our God works. You may have fallen. Your faith may not be where it needs to be. Master, help me. Get in that word. He is the word. He showed us the way. He's going to pick you right back up. And then Jesus said, "Faint heart." It's our spirit man right there. Your spirit and your faith, that's the line. Your spirit's where your faith comes from. That's it, supernatural. What got into you? Notice he was boldly approaching. And he said, "If it be you, for me to walk on the water." Now, a lot of people like to preach that as Peter having very little faith. How many of you have walked on water? I mean, they preach it like, and that's why it's so important that we unlock these hidden meanings in the Scripture, because when we unlock this right here, when you look into the Greek, oligopistos, little faith. But when you break down that word, the first word, the prefix, oligos, and the word for faith, pistos, and it forms our oligopistos. Oligos has few meanings in Greek. It can mean little, it can mean small, it can mean few, but it can also mean other things as well with those meanings. It can mean of number, multitude, quantity, or size. It means you have a little bit of something. Or it can mean of time, a short duration. Or it can mean of degree, the intensity of life. Peter's faith was great at this time. Notice he was bold. He didn't doubt. He jumped. There was no doubt in him at this point. He walked on the water. Walked and made it to Jesus. But he did not persevere. Oligos. His faith was not small. The duration of his faith was small. He didn't persevere. He didn't hold on. We can be running to our giants, and then suddenly, you know, we might get a little hit. Something might hit us. That fiery dart might just poke us a little bit. But we got to keep persevering. Oligos pistos. We don't have a little faith. We got great faith. It's going to endure. It's going to persevere. And notice, the moments that we do fall, Jesus is right there. He said, "Master, save me." When you do fall, when you are in trouble, we know the one to turn to. Notice that the Bible said Jesus did not hesitate. If you're crying out to Him, He's right there with you. The very same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the very same power that He operated on, the very same power that He did all the miracles with rests inside of us. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, we have a job to do. We are the body of Christ. And everything He did here on earth, we can do ourselves. He gave us the Great Commission. Endurance. We got to persevere with that faith. You guys want to see revival in this church? It's time we persevere. You guys want to see miracles in this church? It's time we persevere. Our endurance has to hold out. Our perseverance has to be strong. We got to stand on what we know. We got to stand on the Word. There's been times that many of us have fallen. And there's been times that even I've showed weakness. But thank God for that man out there that He's corrected me along the way. There's been times that He has pulled me literally by the collar and said, "Hey, that's not the way you're supposed to be. You sound defeated right now. You sound like you're whipped. You're a man of God. Man of God don't talk like this." Did I get offended by this? No. No, I did not. I thank God that I have a pastor that I can serve. And it's an honor that He's allowed me to preach in His church. A pastor's pulpit is a sacred area. God gave this man a vision. And we're seeing that vision right now. And thank God that He's called us to be a part of it. And I thank You for allowing me to serve in Your ministry. And it's an honor. And as that, Paul always told people, follow me as I follow Christ. As long as he follows Christ, we're right there with him. Pastor, you too. You guys are one flesh. I include you as my pastor as well. And if you guys ever, if he ever comes to you and approaches, he's doing it out of love. It's time that we let the spiritual father of this church, which is Pastor, he said it. He's like, you know, Moses was the leader of the children. He's the leader of this church. Don't get offended by anything. If he corrects you, it's from God, I promise you. The Holy Spirit is there. And that's part of endurance. You know, Rick is one of the elders of this church. If he comes to me and talks to me, I'm going to respect him. He knows a lot too. Any of you out there. Correction is not wrong. One thing I have learned, and one thing that will kill your endurance quicker than anything, is letting offense in your life. Offense is one of the greatest baits of Satan that he has ever used. You cannot walk around offended and with unforgiveness in your life and expect to walk in the fullness of God. You cannot expect to have anything from God when you're offended and unforgiving, because he has forgiven us for unforgivable debt. He took it all upon himself, and he expects us to operate that way too. Forgive. Don't be offended by anything like that. When you walk around the fence, your faith will fall. Forgive often. Love one another. It's time we be a church and pray for one another. None of this like, well, what do you know? You don't know my life. No, he may not know your life, but he knows the Word. It's time that we submit to our leaders. It's time you got a vision. It's time we follow that vision. You want to see revival? It's going to come through him at this church. He's the pastor here. I don't know where that came from. That wasn't part of the scripture there. That's how the Holy Ghost works, that convicting power right there. We find in Proverbs 12:1 in the Message, if you love learning, I love learning. I mean, I'm a big nerd. I'm going to be the first to tell you that. I'm a big bookworm. That's how I came to this church. I was looking for a book, and I met this man right here, and I was impressed with his knowledge. I was like, man, this guy knows what he's talking about. Me and him had a big theological discussion right there while we was talking to books. He introduced me to Kenneth Hagin's books. Best thing ever happened to me. And then also, you know, I had an uncle who was like a spiritual mentor before this, and he always gave me advice. He said, go to the church, you know, give the churches that they talk about the worst a chance. He said, most of the time they're doing something for God. What better place than right here? Amen to that. If we ever get to a place where we refuse correction, we will not persevere very long, and our faith will dwindle. It's the very grace of God and the Holy Ghost that convicts us. And that's the grace of God that breaks the servitude of sin. But go back to 12:1. He said, if you love learning, you love the discipline that goes with it. How short-sighted to refuse correction. Now, the Message Bible just lays it out there. How short-sighted is it to refuse correction? Jesus was constantly correcting the disciples. If our pastors want to correct us, if it's lined up by the Word, we should thank God that we have pastors that are willing enough to do it. Thank you for all the lessons you've ever given me. Now I mean that. A lot of us may be asking, how do we persevere? The Bible's already laid it out for us. The Bible has given us everything we need to persevere. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to read through verses 1 through 10. It says, Simon Peter, a bondservant. Notice, a bondservant and apostle. Notice what come first. The word servant. The title don't mean anything. We're not seeking titles. We're seeking to serve Him. I'm just up here. I'm a mouthpiece for the Lord. Why He called me, I don't know. I just know that He did. I'm not happy unless I'm doing something for the Lord. That's the way we are. Whatever you're called to do, you're called to serve some way in some capacity. He serves. He serves us as pastor. He serves the Lord. And He's got a pastor too that He answers to as well. We all need leaders. We all don't know it all. We all need courage. But first, we're a servant. Now, if He wants to put a title to us, we have a fivefold ministry we walk in. An apostle. Apostle simply means one who sent of Jesus Christ. To those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours. Notice, our faith, their faith, it's all the same faith. If it lines up with the Word, it is the same faith. By the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Now notice how it gets multiplied. One time grace is not enough. It's got to be multiplied. How is it multiplied? To you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. The more you grow in knowledge, the more grace and peace you're going to have in your life. Pastor just said it. He declared the word over his life. He's right here today. And he prays for us every day. I know he does. Man, the ministry is a battle that a lot of people, that few know that you go through. His divine power has granted to us everything. Everything. What's everything? Without lack. We have everything pertaining to life and godliness. Hallelujah. He's already given it to us. It is a free gift. Declare Him Lord. Accept Him into your life today. Persevere. Through the true knowledge. Now, know it's true. We're getting the truth here. If you don't have the true knowledge, you're not going to persevere. Knowledge creates faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. If you're getting the true Word, you're going to grow in faith if you bring it down to your heart. Through the true knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and excellence. Through these, He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises. Oh, the promises of God. Boy, I thank Him every day. Thank Him every day. I don't care if I'm feeling bad. I don't care if I'm... I just know that I'm still going to come out of it good. If I'm feeling bad today, I'm going to praise Him, get the devil off my back, and I'm going to shout, and I'm going to dance, and I'm going to praise. Jesus is King. Jesus is Lord. We're the healed of God. We have everything we need for a great life here. So that by Him, you may become partakers. Notice, partakers. We are partaking of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world on account of lust. Every one of us was once a slave to sin. The grace of God has broken that. It is time for us to persevere and keep breaking that. Now, for this very reason, also, and I'll say this is very important, applying all diligence in your faith, here's what we got to supply it with. Moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowing the difference between right and wrong, knowledge. We got to grow in knowledge of the Word. And in your knowledge, self-control. You control that flesh. How do we do it? By renewing our mind. By walking in faith. Partaking in the divine nature. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, what do we have? Brotherly kindness. This is in the New American Standard Bible, by the way. And in your brotherly kindness, the most important commandment of all, love. We have to have a love that God has. We have to love one another. Because We love because He first loved us. And without love, your faith will not work. Without love, you will not persevere in this world. Now notice here, for if these qualities are yours, and notice, it's not just enough to be yours, and are increasing. We start out a certain way, we should be increasing always. Increasing our knowledge, increasing our love, increasing our brotherly kindness. They do not make you useless, nor unproductive. Now notice, we're not to be useless, not to be unproductive. You got talent, everybody's got talent somewhere. Use it for the Lord. Use it to serve the church. Use it to advance the kingdom of God. Will not make you useless nor unproductive in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the one who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted. Plain and simple. This is the word here. I'm not saying it. This is not my words. Having forgotten his purification from his former sins, you're forgiven. That's one of the hardest things I've ever had to deal with, is we've all got a past. But when Jesus forgave us, it's no longer remembered. Get over it. You're not that person anymore. And if the devil wants to keep bringing you up, he's the accuser of the brethren. I'm not that person anymore. I'm a son and daughter of God. Amen. And because of his sacrifice, I can now approach the throne and say that I'm a son and daughter of God. I'm now a partaker of the kingdom of heaven. I'm now a partaker of divine healing. I'm now a partaker of divine prosperity. I'm now a partaker of all his promises. Amen. Because his promises is yes and amen to those who what? Believe. Persevere. Your faith. Hallelujah. Oh, let's get excited. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be all the more diligent. Diligence. Make an effort. And make certain about his calling and choice of you. No one would be here right there if Jesus hadn't called us. He gave us all the measure of faith to convict us with the Holy Spirit to come forth and receive him as Lord. We all have that measure of faith. A lot of people like to use that, you know, that mustard seed faith. It's not about having little faith. What do you do with that seed? You make it grow. We all have that mustard seed faith in us. It's enough to get salvation. Salvation doesn't stop there. The word salvation is sozo in the Greek. Deliverance, healing, salvation. It's all there. Break the bonds. It don't stop at salvation. It continues with healing. It continues with deliverance, breaking those strongholds. There's no reason we're a slave anymore. There's no reason that something should be having a slave. You command it. You speak to it. Use your faith. It's a free gift. Jesus gave it to us. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be all diligent to make certain about his calling and choice of you. God, I just love that. Jesus chose me. He chose you as well. That's why you're here today. I love this part right here too. And this right here is it right here. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Hallelujah. That is the answer to the test. Right there. We have all that we need. God has made it easy for us. Like I said, we have the answers to the test. We don't have to look for the answers. We've got them already. We've got the word. Read it. Use it. Declare it. Get it in your heart. Treat it like a treasure. And that's what it is to us. That very word of God is a treasure. It's going to break your strongholds. You want to see revival? It's time that we declare the word over this church. It's time that we declare that if they're not going to come in, we're going to go out there and we're going to bring them in. Hallelujah. They're coming. Who's that loved one you're praying for? They're coming. Who's that loved one you're declaring salvation for? They're coming. Amen. Who is bound and broken tonight? You're getting healed. That knee problem, take off running. Let's go. That heart problem, you're fixed. That depression, it's gone. That marriage is going to be mended back together. It's time that we start acting like the victors that we are, church. And in closing, I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And I'm going to read that out of the Message Bible. And that about wraps it up. This is Apostle Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. God is strong, and He wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you. Well-made weapons are the best material. What is our weapon, church? The Word. We got to take it with us. And if we don't have it on the inside of us, when that door hits us, we ain't got nothing to stand on. And the evil day will come. And put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. Put them to use. A knife ain't doing no good to you if it's just laying in the cupboard. It's a tool. If you got a wrench and you don't twist the boat with it, the boat's not coming loose. We have the best made tools available. The Word says it. Of the best material. We have the Word. We have salvation. We have righteousness. We have everything God needs to live a godly life. I like this part of the way it sums it up here. This is no weekend war that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is what the Message says. It's how it's paraphrased the Greek here. It's no weekend war that we're going to forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps. How many know this is for keeps? This is serious. If we don't persevere, we lose. God isn't willing that any of us should perish, but all should come to repentance. It's a free gift. He's given all to us. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Life or death, that's what's at stake here. Your very soul, your very spirit, if you do not persevere. Oh, we get excited. We get excited about revival. You want to stand on the Word. Start performing those miracles that Jesus said we're going to perform through. No, it's God perform them. We're just the vessels. Working through. I want to make that clear before someone misquotes me. It's our faith that God chooses to use. He chooses to work through man. It's our faith that has to be available there. It says, be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Thank God we got Jesus. Yes. Amen. Amen. Take all the help you can get. You're my help. We're one body. If the church cannot unite itself, a house divided will fall. We stand behind you, Pastor. So that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Hallelujah. We got that promise. Oh, we're fighting. But at the end, we're still going to be on our feet. We're still shouting. We're still praising. Hallelujah. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. It's not just enough just to speak it. You've got to believe it. We can get into the habit of talking all the time. Do you believe it? Do you look at that sickness? Do you look at that bondage and say, it's gone in the name of Jesus? Do you believe it? Do you know that mountain's going to move? Do you know that that stronghold's going to break? Do you know that that wall's coming down? Do you know that they're coming through this door? They're ready. We're ready. Learn how to apply them. Get into the Word. It's got all the answers. Listen to your ministers. Listen to your pastors. They've been through it. They know how to apply this stuff. You'll need them throughout your life. Life. This is a life commitment. It's not just for a weekend. When we leave here Sunday, we should be prepared for the next Sunday. We should be prepared to share Jesus to the world. There are some people that will never reach inside these four walls here, because it's our job to take what we have in here out there to this lost and dying world. And if we're not showing them Jesus, what chance do they have? Yeah, I mean, we get offended by stuff. There's no point in getting offended. Sinners will be sinners. That's what they do. They mock Jesus, they're going to mock you. But we're going to persevere because we know what path we're on. We know who the true Lord and Savior is. And it's your love and it's your spirit that's going to convict these people to come to Him. But first you got to persevere. You got to come through your trials. You got to know what you're doing. Just because you're going through trials doesn't mean you're failing. It's kind of a sure gift. God's Word, say it with me, God's Word is an indispensable weapon. Amen. We've got the weapon that we need. We've got His Word. In the same way, prayer, this is important too. This is where a lot of people fail at. Sometimes even myself. Pastor's always taught me, you know, you tell yourself, no one gets mad at you because they don't think you're talking about them. It's a beautiful lesson, by the way. Prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Are we praying for one another enough? I need your prayers. I'm going to pray for you. You pray for me. Amen. That's how we grow as a church. That's why you don't forsake the together of believers. Because we need that fire. We need that passion. We need that building up. We need that infilling of the Spirit so we can take it out to this world. This world will beat you up without it. The Holy Ghost is our very power that we can stand on. And I thank God every day that I come in here and get that fresh anointing, get that refilling, because I wouldn't be able to stand very long without it. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. The devil is cunning. And if our eyes are not open, before you know it, you're in a snare. You're in a trap. How do we keep our eyes open? We have knowledge of the Word. Test all these doctrines that you hear out there by the Word. If it don't line up with the Word of God, I promise you it is not God. If a prophecy is spoken and it does not line up with the Word and it's some new revelation, there is nothing new under the sun. I promise you it's not of God. Keep each other's spirits up. Are we encouraging one another? That's what keeping your spirit. Exalt one another. There's no reason that Christians should be beating each other up. There's nothing that makes me more angry than seeing these churches fight. Well, they don't do things this way, or they run to the left instead of to the right, and you know, it's tradition. That's what Jesus hated the most about the religious people, is the very traditions nullified the Word of God. Let the Spirit move. Let the Spirit control. Now, He's not going to come in here and be chaotic. Where the Spirit of God is, there's peace. Where the Spirit of God is, there's knowledge. Where the Spirit of God is, we're going to work the very miracles that we have saw Jesus work. But we may come about a little different. That don't mean we're any better than anybody else. That don't mean that we're worse off just because, you know, we do things a little different. There's churches in here right now that would hate the very fact that I play electric guitar. They will preach you into hell for it. They hate the very fact that we probably play contemporary music. They think, you know, their idea of what the gospel is, that's it. That's wrong. We got to exhort one another. Well, if the Spirit moves for you playing bluegrass gospel, hallelujah, I'll praise right there with you. But, you know, we're going to play our music the way this man wants to. We're here to exhort him anyway. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind and drops out. There's nothing worse than having a brother or sister fall away from the Lord. We should be there and encourage this person to get back in there. Jesus loves you. Show them the love of Jesus instead of tearing them down. I mean, I've never seen people that rejoice when someone falls. Oh, I just knew they wasn't no good. Oh, I just knew that they was going to fall. I knew they was faking it. How do we know their heart? We're not judging. We're not the judges of their heart. We should be there to encourage them. We don't know what's going on. Be there to pray for them. Be there to exhort them. Be there to build them up. Be the church. Amen. Jesus never, you know, when he saw someone lost and broken, what did he say? He said, your sins are forgiven. Go sin no more. He restored them. You know, people always want to use Jesus as an example. What was Jesus angry at the most? Religious people. The very people who are up here behind pulpits trying to control other people and not wanting to, you know, because at the time they didn't want to give up their authority. Jesus was not part of the status quo. It's time we pray and exhort one another. Bring them back in. We love you. We don't care what you've done. Jesus still forgives you. You made a mistake. You messed up. Jesus didn't hesitate to pick Peter back up when he fell. We should be the same way with our brothers and sisters. We see them falling. We should pick them up, pray for them, show them the love of God. That's how you be a church. That's how you be a Christian. That's how you persevere in your faith. And this is another important thing, too. When we go to 19 through 20, And it says, and don't forget to pray for me. Above all, pray for your pastors. Pray for your pastors. God gave him the vision for this church. And as long as we're serving here, God's going to speak through him. God may use us in different ways. And that's his decision. It's his decision to let me preach tonight. You know, I'm sure he prayed about it. And it's a great honor for a pastor to trust you with his church. We've all got talents and we use to serve. He can't do it on his own. He's got the calling. It's left up to us to make sure that calling comes to fruition. He's got the faith. He's going to stand on it. He's going to use somebody. It might as well be us. Hallelujah. Don't forget to pray for me. Pray that I'll know what to say and have courage to say it at the right time. Telling the mystery to one and all, the message that I, jailbird preacher, that I am, and responsible for getting out. Persevere. Pray for one another. Exhort one another. Most of all, pray for your pastors as well. You know, there's a lot of people out there that would love to see this man fail. Pastor as well. When I include them both. Because they're one flesh. They're in this together. The calling is shared. And I'm sure that, you know, whatever God shares with him, you probably back him up 100%. You know, that's the way it should be. Our pastors are our leaders. And the success of this church will depend on our prayers for them and how God uses them. So, in closing, remember, persevere, stand, and let God work through us. It's time that we bring revival to this house. This is it. This is our call. The prophet stood here. I believe what he said. I believe he had many messages. And the devil's already tried to stop it once. It's time we put him to an open show and show us what a powerful church, show us the Jesus, and show him the Jesus that we serve. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. If there's any of you tonight that does not know Jesus, or maybe you just need a refilling of the Spirit, or you've stumbled and fallen and you need to repent, this altar is open for you. If you have that conviction of the Holy Spirit, He'll be there for you. He's ready to accept you with open arms. Hallelujah. If there's any here who needs prayer for anything at all, we're a praying church. We believe the word. We'll declare the word over you. Anybody needs anything, we'll be happy to pray for you. Okay, I'll take it as everybody blessed.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you. It's been an honor, as always, to share the word with you. And I just want to say we're blessed. Pastor, thank you for the opportunity again. And